It is a great privilege, greatly treasured by each before this incarnation, to be offered the opportunity to be able to carry not only a personal suffering, but also a deep, pure, sorrow that is the pain of the planetary sphere which you came to love and to serve. 30, 529, Chapter 15, The Devotionally Lived Life. May we suffer with style, grace and that generous joy that comes from a life lived by faith. And may our seasons of suffering blessedly end with the balm of Gilead. Tests and trials. Seasons of suffering are called by many names, the most common one being the dark night of the soul. One thing of which we can assure ourselves is that we will experience these times of trial, large and small. It is as though before incarnation began we were so greedy for this wonderful opportunity of a life that we piled far too much on our plate to eat at the banquet of living. Before you came into this incarnation, you planned for yourself temptations, trials and troubles aplenty. You may have piled your plate very high, or done the equivalent of taking a 21-hour semester. It is not advisable, but we permit an ambitious lifetime, for if the ambition turns into fruit, it shall be great fruit. And those who suffer are those who bear fruit. Therefore, each of you has chosen difficulties on purpose, not for your obstruction, disgust, apprehension, fear or worry, but for catalyst, that you may learn the lessons of love that it has been given you to learn to make the choice of service to others. 31 Perhaps knowing that these inevitable patterns of sorrow and other negative emotions bring us to our lessons of love and ever purer service to others can help us better to accept these things, all paths will contain the difficulties which you have prepared for yourself. Each of you has great trials in the past and in the future. That is the nature of the illusion in which you have chosen to pursue the learning of the lessons of love. If you attempt to choose an easy path, difficulties shall come to you. If you attempt to choose the difficult path, difficulties will come to you. It is impossible to avoid them. So the virtue lies not in choosing difficulty, for difficulty is inevitable. The choice well made is that choice which seeks the most opportunity for service to others. We do not find it necessary to encourage any to wear hair shirts and make themselves uncomfortable thereby, for each will be very uncomfortable and feel as though he were indeed wearing the hair shirt again and again throughout the incarnational experience. It is just as futile to attempt to avoid difficulty. Those who attempt to make their lives easier and choose the easier path will still find the same lessons. 530, Chapter 15, The Devotionally Lived Life. Learned and every single iota of difficulty experienced, whether the attempt to avoid the experience is made or not. You cannot move from your own nature. 32 The way out of the difficulties of the spiritual path is direly through the thick of the issue or concern. For we truly cannot avoid being ourselves. Those times of sorrow come upon us for love's reasons, but how hard they are to see into, sometimes. It can seem a most exhausting and fruitless endeavor to sustain oneself without resorting to a weary bitterness when under such emotional siege. Gradually, the path winds as it will, difficulties and tests mount as the capacity to learn increases. This love created, this love destroys. All that is within that which we must, for lack of other words, call love. This awesome and terrible love shall test and stretch each of you. That it does so with sure purpose is very hard to see. When you are emptied and the filling of your cup has begun, rest in the hollowness within, and allow the open heart to feel the peace of this one moment without fear. May you be sustained. 33 One bright asp about times of trial is the opportunities they give us to penetrate that personality shell of ours and dig through into richer, deeper fields of being. Each of you has this sterling opportunity to break through the defenses, the shells, the masks that each has gathered about itself to defend itself from those pains which it fears. And the answer to these pains and difficulties is simply to accept them, to embrace them, to walk through them by faith, working in each case to see the love that is in the moment and to be a part of that which is good for all those whom you meet. You see, the confusions, the difficulties, the suffering are symptoms, shall we say, of the process of change or transformation when you have incomplete information. Each of you has woefully incomplete information in the conscious mind. 34 In a way, we are as Isis going after the hidden parts of Osiris, trying to complete the puzzle of our whole selves, by throwing the self into the experiences of confusion, frustration, difficulty, disharmony and disease. The seeker of truth might test its ability to find the periphery line of self within each moment, in order that it might, piece by piece, experience by experience, construe the complete pyre of the self, the creation and the creator as one being. 35, 531, Chapter 15, The Devotionally Lived Life. Together with the meditative and contemplative practices that aid the searching soul in assembling a better whole pyre of the development of the self, when going through a tough experience it may be handy also to look at the issue of our desires. In this situation, what expiations or attachments to some outcome do we have? If at any time a difficulty arises, upon its examination there will always be found an expiation of some sort that is not being met. This is not to suggest that one should have no expiations. It is merely an analysis of how things work, shall we say, and that, therefore, to be aware of the expiations one has in a given situation is the first step in dealing with whatever difficulties may arise. Once one is aware of one's expiations, these may be worked with, and, perhaps, adjusted if found to be unsatisfactory. 36 Sometimes we can see right away that some settled preference of ours has bound us to an unhappy circumstance, and rather skillfully adjust our preferences to ease our sorrow, but sometimes we cannot. Sometimes, we seem to stumble and fall, and have no immediate help or hope. Our preferences go to the bone, and we find no way to alter them. These are times when the veil of unknowing is heavy upon us, and faith is hard to hold. We are aware of the difficulties in traversing the path in darkness and of the strong desire many of you have for the illumination of the sun, so that obstacles may be seen, dealt with appropriately or avoided altogether. The illumination of the sun on the path occurs, however, only when the veil does not exist. You are aware of the necessity of the veil for work done within the illusion. As a result of this, there is rarely perceived any clear diarrhine upon the path. It must be taken one stumbling step at the time, and that which is encountered will be encountered and dealt with according to the current state of being of the seeker. It is the continuation on the path that is the important thing. 37 May we continue on the path of seeking together with a merry heart, made lighter by the company of each other. 532, Chapter 15, The Devotionally Lived Life. Walking by faith. Those of you who say, it is often assumed by those who are not on a spiritual pilgrimage that the greatest boon of living a spiritually oriented life is the peace of having made such a deep choice. And, indeed, there is that piece of commitment to a life in faith. However, what those not on the path often forget or do not know is that the pilgrimage towards eternity, while greatly speeding up the pace of spiritual evolution, is terribly uncomfortable and inconvenient. 38 This caveat to forget comfort is deeply true at times of the devotional life, and those souls who are expressing that all is sublime within their approaches to life are, in my opinion, largely those souls happening to enjoy good times, for although we may remain peaceful within our hearts while entertaining sorrow, grief or anger, we can be said usually to have become to a degree uncomfortable. And although we always hope to learn enough so that we will be able to control our environment, we cannot do so in the metaphysical sense. The greatest wisdom that you shall ever learn in your density at this time is that you cannot know anything, in other words, that your incarnation is based completely upon faith. You are on a journey in uncharted waters and your intel will not be able to be so wise as to steer your spiritual journey. Many mistakenly attempt to live a spiritual life coming from the intel and from wisdom. However, this energy does not make use of the open heart, and it will not take you far. And those seas into which it pitches you will be as confusing as the seas you left behind to seek for wisdom. It is our understanding, rather, that your density is a starkly simple stage set for making one choice again and again, and that is the choice to love and to be loved. 39 The devotional life has enormous room in it for wisdom. The measured philosophy, the inspirational discourse, The exalted poetry of wise men and women can lift us up, educate us and illumine us. But attempting to reduce the threads of suffering and circumstance we are weaving into the tapestry of our lives to things known and solutions found will likely prove only partially successful, for the quality of catalyst and experience is not linear, and cations are made in non-rational ways. It can be very bewildering to look at the strange landscapes we arrive at and move through in our 533, Chapter 15, The Devotionally Lived Life Evolving Walk with Spirit, and it is very easy to wish for an outer authority. 131 says, "When I first found your website and started perusing the newsletters, the one I found and latched onto first was number 40, On the Power of Faith and Will. I think this is a weak area for me and one in which I lack a proper understanding. It accounts for why I sometimes look to sources outside myself for guidance, instead of looking inward to my own higher guidance. It is something I would like to strengthen in myself. 40 Faith and will have a lot to do with guidance. Guidance is all around us, of this I am perfectly convinced. The more we look to any outside authority for knowledge of what is going on in our experience, the less we give our own self-guiding system a chance to perform normally. I have had a lot of people write in with the desire to meet their own personal guides or guidance system, and while people can work to achieve this, I think it is a straighter path to the guidance within our deeper selves simply to have faith that the guidance system is in place and that we are receiving hints and suggestions from it in our everyday lives. The skill then becomes to pay attention to the present moments as they pass. When we rest back into faith, we become ready to pay heightened attention to the present moment, and to our hearts meeting that moment with open love. The op rise to be unafraid of trouble. Find ways to be serene while you are not understanding, for this lack of understanding will continue and is irrelevant to the process of spiritual evolution. When the heart is opening, a tremendous strength fills the spirit. Whenever this is not felt and you become aware that the heart is closed, we ask that you touch into your own faith, to the guidance that surrounds you, to the love that overshadows you, the mystery that made you and claims you for its own, and rise refreshed and peaceful. 41 Circumstances may upset us, relationships may founder our spirits temporarily, but if we live by faith from moment to moment, we may always refresh ourselves in the waters of our own being. We may be awash with the catalyst, but we can breathe the water. And the voyage cannot fail. The exercise of faith is simply that willingness to believe and to upon the belief that there is a plan that is in if and that cannot fail, and that that plan will constitute a destiny that is a safe passage regardless of the many twists and turns that always occur. 42, 534, Chapter 15, The Devotionally Lived Life. We cannot in any way prove that a life in faith is a good choice. It often looks positively silly. But we can do as if our reliance on faith were completely deserved, for that is the essence of faith. It begins with as if. Invoke faith without knowing that it is reasonable to do so. Live as though you had put faith, that your destiny will come to you and all that is for you will simply be a true to you as it is time for it to appear. Live as though it were true and notice those subtly interesting hints and suspicions and suggestions and synchronicities that say to you, yes, you are on the right track. Each of you will have various experiences that, for you, grow to be the signal for, yes, you have got it right. Yes, this is what you should be doing. 43 Eventually, we all do get moments of the most radiant apprehension and perception of the perfection of the plan. Mountaintop experiences will come to us, but faith walks the valleys. Our life is spent largely in the vales and along the rills of living. Those grand scenic panoramas of peak experience come as gifts only, not to inform or sustain. What sustains us may be in part the bare memory of such peak experiences, and I certainly have my share of mystical states to recall with awe and humility. But my observation has been that they are not sturdy company back in the dales of daily living. I cannot draw them out, either for myself or for others, as badges to enhance faith. What continues to enhance faith is time spent in eternity and infinity, daily time spent with the Creator, time out of time and space. We may think of the silence that brings us to these things as a rainbow bridge. When you have determined that which creates the bridge to eternity for you, we urge you to cross that bridge as often as possible. The ideal which was shown by many entities is to live in such a way that the entire life experience becomes a parable of the journey to infinity, of the ridding of oneself of the dross of perishability and the winning through of the understanding that your consciousness, more and more refined, polarized and uplifted, is indeed imperishable and is your true self. The more time one spends having crossed the rainbow bridge into eternity while in the physical body, the more one is able to offer in consolation, in forgiveness, in peacemaking. For to one who has faith, there is no problem too great to solve, and that which is unsolvable is acceptable. Each day and night is its own entity, appreciated for itself, experienced for itself and I am done for love out of faith. This is the life in faith. 44 What sparks my own faith? Devotions do. I love moments and minutes of prayer, affirmation and meditation. I love the silence. I love inspirational messages that stir up my soul and lift my spirits. I love the world of natural. 535, Chapter 15, The Devotionally Lived Life Things. And I love helping people. As each of us finds what makes us respond and quicken in spirit, let us make these prices our own. For coming into a fully fun-owning life in faith is like coming home in a profound way, a way I would like very much to share. We seek to build, within this mortal shell of life that is our body, an imperishable consciousness. Within the third density illusion, each seeker of what you call the truth places itself in a position of receptivity to that truth by the intensity of the seeking, and the strength of faith and will, so that at some point within the cycle of incarnations, it is possible for such a seeker not only to discover that which it seeks, but to become that which it seeks. This is the meaning of the Resurrection within third density. The seeker builds with mortal hands a manifested life that may be construed in such a fashion in metaphysical terms that that known as love may move through the being in such a pure fashion as to shine as that which it is. The pure and virgin consciousness of the one creator, moving to gain the experience of the creation which it has made of itself, and doing this within the life pattern of incarnate third density beings who have prepared this place within their life patterns and, thus, not only received that which was sought, but become that which was sought. 45 As we bring our work more and more within ourselves, not working with the outer pyur but with our own minds, hearts and biases, we begin not to resist outer catalyst so much. This, too, is a help in simplifying our experience. For those willing to live by faith and the feeling of rightness, the life may feel that it has been lived more and more without effort, more and more like the well-oiled rifle which accepts the bullet and powers it most swiftly and straightly to the target through all the air in between. The spirit within has the capacity to live as the bullet does, swiftly, straightly, accurately and with substantial force. Even those who are without any sense of personal destiny may well find events quickening and becoming more simple because there has been, for whatever reason, a willingness to move forward without resistance when change of some kind is seemingly necessary. 46 All these aspects of walking by faith may help to ease the difficulties of hard emotional times. Above all, let us find sympathy and love for ourselves when we are weary. 536, Chapter 15, The Devotionally Lived Life. We encourage you to comfort yourself when your journey is arduous and you need a place to rest. You have that within you and need only construe it in your mind. You may also with your mind and your will construe within your dwelling the tools for healing and for rebuilding the intensity of your faith that there is a path, that truth does exist, and that there is such a thing as love and the will to seek that which your faith tells you is there. 47. Cooperating with destiny. How precious to us is the rest we gain when we trust that the challenges and trials we have in our daily lives are justly given us in order that we may learn as much as possible, but never too much. I can attest that once in a while we feel that we come right to the edge of it's all being too much. But whatever breakage we experience, we then eventually experience those times of healing that restore us. Meanwhile, we encourage our hearts to remain soft and vulnerable to the experience of difficulty, Yours is the last density with truly adverse conditions for the positive, or service to others oriented person. Only in this density, the density of choice, does this occur. Know then, that this which is in front of you is not more than you can work with, is not that which defeats. You would not program that for yourself. But you are stretching yourself, because you wish to change, you wish to become even more polarized in love and service to the Creator and others than you are now. 48 So the idea is not to resist this suffering, but to become accepting of and transparent to it. The goal of the suffering seeker is not an end to suffering but, rather, an increased or enhanced sense of the sanity, the hallowed nature of these processes of learning, of changing, of evolving through experience. Each seeker chooses the degree to which it shall suffer as it resists or does not resist the beckoning call of its own destiny. Each is co-creator of that destiny. Each has chosen the classes it has in this school of incarnation. Therefore, all is well, metaphysically speaking, whatever the suffering looks like, for it is simply a portion of experience allowed to be suffering through the resistance and fear of the changing that the learning creates. 49 When the resistance to suffering is felt, there is a fear as if we are falling and must land well. However, ourselves are ali in a free fall, in the Fools, 537, Chapter 15, The Devotionally Lived Life Leap of Faith, and this is where the rhythms of destiny flow. In surrendering to the presence of the suffering, we are surrendering to the destiny that is flowing through us. When at last you do not mind free falling, you shall have arrived at a reasonably comfortable metaphysical stance from which to gain a somewhat more accurate view of the rhythmic beating of destiny. Blown by the winds of free will, that destiny has a surety, a sure-footedness that cannot be moved by decisions that turn you from one direction to another. You cannot go away from the right path, for those lessons that you came to explore, those lessons of how to love and how to allow being loved, are fluid and living and they can move with you wherever you go. So in the sense of making tragic errors we ask you to be fearless. You cannot make a mistake, metaphysically speaking, for your lesson and your destiny shall follow you wherever you are moved to go. Yet to cooperate with that defined destiny is often to allow the little world to die away that the greater self and the greater will might be presented more clearly. 50 Since we cannot make a mistake in the metaphysical sense, we are free to consult and surrender to the will of the Creator for us, as we come to know it. Each person wishes for personal power, power to control, the power to shape the destiny, and this is your right. My friends, this is your obligation. Yet know that the first and greatest power is given to you in the air of surrender, for the heart that has surrendered can hear the song which will lead you. Those who close and stop their ears and demand that things be thus and so, will indeed hear a siren's song. And the manifestation of sorrow in the life of one who controls shall be more and more. These are the ones who are wayward and lost, for they cannot go home, yet they are not able to go forward. Surrender, then. And purify your ears to the song of life, that life which is beyond life and death. 51 How easy it is to drift into the making of plans. I do that often, the more fool, I. It is so tempting. It fills the pockets of the mind to make plans. But metaphysically speaking, we are doing better to surrender fully to paying attention to the present moment, in the sense of accelerating the process of learning. It is well to work within the self to realize that there is a drift or tendency that can loosely be called destiny, and it is safe, we feel, to say that this destiny is a 538, Chapter 15, The Devotionally Lived Life Benign and Helpful One, worthy of faith and trust and, to some extent, able to be made visible by the seeker who is willing to listen and feel and intuit and truly, in each way that you can, simply pay attention. For as the way with the Creator is overwhelming, there are signs on every side, synchronicities and coincidences that mount up rapidly when one is paying attention. 52 Not that it is ever easy to have the patience to surrender to paying attention. That is the price that seems often too dear. If you can trust destiny enough to release the attempts to control it, the natural waves of energy moving out from the center of that kindly destiny which is each seeker's will gradually take that seeker upon the path and in the direction which is deeply desired. We do not need to tell you how difficult a price it is to maintain the silent and listening receptivity to destiny in a world in which intangibles and invisible things are often given no worth or value at all. Yet, this price is most productive of peace of mind and is very efficient in its own way at keeping the seeker upon the path chosen before the incarnative experience. It is not that your life was predestined, but, rather, that certain things were chosen by you. Certain patterns were chosen by you in order to focus on certain lessons concerning love. The energy that has moved you through various stages of life has been an energy which feels natural impulses towards some lessons and complete indifference towards others. No one else has your path. No one else has your lessons. You need no one else's lessons. So each pilgrim that is walking upon this highway is walking alone in a very deep sense. 53 We are alone in the sense that our learning is unique to each of us, not in having learning to do. The Creator is very patient with the patterns of our lessons. If one relationship that teaches a certain lesson is ended before the pattern is complete, we will receive another such relationship so we can continue our observation on this point. There is no sense in ducking a perceived lesson. Try to follow these challenges through to the end, to honor them as well as exhaust the catalyst. And always consult the heart first, not the interlal mind, when working with catalyst. The more you can remember who you are, the more easily shall you be able to find that center, that place of knowing that is the Holy of Holies within, that place where the Creator waits for you patiently, hoping that you may stop. Open that door and tabernacle with the Most High. Feel that heart within you open as you think of love and know that the most important thing you will ever do is find that place and live there. 539, Chapter 15, The Devotionally Lived Life. It matters not whether you follow your head or your heart, there are no mistakes. But if you wish to cooperate with destiny you will consult your heart first. 54 Resting in the open heart, we face the day, and the catalyst of the day. The choices you work on making skillfully are choices in substance and quality of beingness. This beingness informs whatever choices are made. We are not in any way saying that it does not matter whether one makes choices, it truly does greatly matter. We simply wish you to grasp the thought that these choices are those which have to do with one's stance or attitude towards that which is facing it rather than having to do with one situation chosen over another. There is a saying in this instrument's mind, you can run, but you cannot hide. The destiny which you skillfully offered your future incarnational self before this experience holds sway in the amphitheater of your brief existence in this one incarnational opportunity. You need not attempt to monkey over much with the tendencies or basic givens of your incarnation. What you are here to do is refined and refined again and again. The choice of focus, of attitude with which it faces the present moment which is destined to be just so. 55 When we see old catalyst coming around again, it is tempting to tell the Creator that we have already learned this lesson, please leave us alone. However, this answer will not satisfy that force of the Creator which brings us catalyst. If the winds have blown us this catalyst, then a review has been considered in order by a force which is following the preferences of our higher self for us. We need to trust that there is time enough to work with all catalyst until its rhythms are complete. Each of you falls headlong into a blazing white light. The white light of an infinite Creator whose very nature is love. You are falling unbelievably quickly, and you shall fuse and become one in your perception as you already are in reality with love itself. This is your destiny. And yet speed is such a relative thing. None of you knows how quickly spiritual gravity pulls you toward that great center, that great unity. Each of you feels you cannot possibly be moving quickly enough, you need to know more. And so you draw yourself along. Yet in reality, you could not hold yourself back if you tried. 56 We need to realize, as part of the devotional life, that the right use of will with regards to approaching our learning in this density is not to use it to reach for our upcoming lessons but to surrender it to the will of the Guide. 540, Chapter 15, The Devotionally Lived Life. Ants within, the forces of destiny and the Creator itself, in trust that we will receive all we need for our evolution of soul. It is the fundamental nature of third density entities to reach. Thousands of incarnations go by as each entity refines that for which it reaches, until finally in one way or another the entity begins to realize that much of reaching cannot be done in any environment except the environment of the silent, seeking heart. You are creatures who have a memory which is buried deeply within you, and is a portion of that which makes you alive, that you are a creature of a creator, and that you have a destiny, an appointment towards which you move, quickly or slowly, to the Father and to you.